Niels is going to lead us in our first scripture reading, which comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You'll find that reading on page 1610 in the Pew Bible. And then Jonsson's going to come and lead us in the reading of the text from Revelation chapter 2 and bring God's word to us. Thanks, Niels.
Our reading comes from Romans 8, start at verse 26. So in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Is it God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God that I could be present here and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I read the word of God from Revelation chapter 2, I would like to give the greetings from our brothers and sisters in Indonesia for you all here. Pastor Andrew already mentioned about where I'm from, Indonesia, and maybe some of you already been there. I am working in an island called Java. We have about 150 million people living in that island. And all together in my country, we have 270 million all together. And about 80% of that population are Islam. The rest are the other religions. So, even though I only be here one day, but please remember us in your prayers as we are doing preaching the word of God and reaching out people over there. You might also hear many radical Muslims there that we are facing. So hopefully that by this, you can remember us in your prayers and also in your discussion. Let us read the word of God. I will try my best, as Pastor Andrew said to me, that I must preach only 25 minutes. I prepare 22 pages here. So Last night, I'm trying to work hard how to compress this sermon for you in 25 minutes. Let us go to read the word of our God from Revelation chapter 2. We see from verse 1 to 8. To the angel of Christ of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have preserved and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So far, the reading of the Word of God. Christ knows all about his church's life situation and condition. Christ knows all about his church's life situation and condition. Last night, I was trying to see my sermon. And when I type this, I have 3 points. So when I try to compress it, then I found I must preach to you 7 points. So how could I do these 7 points in 25 minutes? So I keep asking the Lord to please help me. And also because my English is not my first language, please also forgive me for my English. Let me give you those 7 points and let's see if I can make in that time that I was given. The 7 points are, first, there is salutation from our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is a self-designation from our Lord Jesus Christ. There is commendation from our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a condemnation of our Lord. There is warning. There is an exhortation. And there is a promise. I hope you can memorize it. salutation, self-designation, commendation, condemnation, warning, exhortation, and promise. Those are the 7 points that I tried to compress in chapter 2. Christ knows all about his church situation. Salutation. When I read the Revelation, I found this is an amazing book of our God given to the church all the age. The word revelation comes from Greek word, means secret. Secret means there is something that being hidden before and now is open. So God opened his heavenly secrets to his church. If you see in the beginning of this book, Revelation, it says Revelation, but actually this is the secrets of God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ given to the church. So Revelation chapter 2 is a part of that secret. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself come using Apostle John, giving his heart, his mind, his secret for his church in Ephesus. That's why you see there it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus. So the church in Ephesus is the address that the Lord is giving his heart. When I read this topic, I found that's quite amazing. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, sending his letter to his church. This topic also gives to me that there is a deep care and love of our Lord Jesus Christ to this church. This also shows to us it's not the initiative of Apostle John. He's only a tool. If you compare with the word write, in the original, it's give us an imperative. He must do it. And when you see an imperative, that means it's not John as the subject, but Jesus Christ is the one who is the subject. So the content of this letter is coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. I see this as a deep love and care of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if this is right, that our Lord Jesus Christ is care, looking after this church, then it should be a deep comfort for you and me too. That he also cares for you here, also for us in Indonesia. And if he cares for the church complete as a whole church, that means he also is caring and also loves each of us person by person. All their younger little kids, babies, is under his care. That's what I understand in that beginning salutation address of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to explain to you about Ephesus. You can see in the website this city. But I like to talk about that after, when we are talking about the love that this church forsake, the first love. Let me continue to the second point about self-designation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden stamps. These are the words. So these all words actually coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. You and me know that. I don't need to talk much about him, which is Jesus Christ, because you can compare with the other letter explained. Specifically in chapter 1, it's explained about who our Lord Jesus Christ is. As the one, the Savior, the one who comes and controls, the head of the church. So many things talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. But I like to pay attention on two expressions, which are who holds the seven stars, and the second one, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I found these two expressions are very, very deep, have a very, very deep meaning, and there is a full attention of our Lord Jesus Christ here. I tried to check this in the original words. Who halts and who walks. The word halts has a few meanings, and I like to share with you these two expression. The word halt comes from the word kratos, means dominion, strength, power, a mighty deed. So he who holds the seven stars has dominion, strength, and power, and mighty, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who pay attention and cares and look after the head of the church has dominion and strength and power and mighty. The one who holds the seven stars. When I see the word holds and right hands and walking, it's connected to bodies. So there is hands, feet, mind and eyes. So this is talking about symbolic words, showing how much deep love and attention of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I like to share again with the next expression before I go deep on this. The other word is talking about his walking. I also check in the original, it says the word walk there. In the beginning, in Indonesian, it says like just walk and walk and walk. But when I check it, it has more than that. Because the word walk in the original means step and trample, keep on going. So the meaning here is our Lord Jesus Christ is busy, go walk around, keep on going. I was thinking he just come, like let's say this church, your church here, he comes and he go to the other church, he goes to the other church. But the meaning of the original actually is not like that. He's like very busy. Busier than Pastor Andrew, busier than myself, busier than any missionary, busier than any leaders of the church, busier than elders, the deacons, etc. It's important for us to see how our Savior, as the head of the church, where or was, is, and is busy for his church. And is not only busy to all of us as a big congregation like this, but also busy seeing and looking after person by person, family by family, little child, big, older, young, is busy. And that's That's why, because he is busy, he's walking around, he knows inside out. You and me can hide your action and thinking and imagination and dreams, etc., from other people. But you and me cannot hide from him who is busy walking around from outside as well as inside of ourselves. Even the innermost part of ourselves, he knows. I think that is amazing. He knows better than any of people who love us or even close to us. He knows better than our parents, our father, our mother, our brothers, our sisters, whoever people that very close to us, he knows. Amazing, isn't it? I think that is a great news. That our Savior, our God, busy looking around, watching around for us. And if you compare with the reading of the scripture from Romans that Brother Neil was reading, that is even amazing more. He is not watching like a police. He's not like a policeman or army watching and try to destroy or try to treat us. But he is watching, care for us with a deep love. And this deep love, God mentioned in the Bible that nobody can separate us from his love. Problems, difficulties, poverty, anything that bad to us, even war, if you can mention, you can see in the Bible that nothing of those things can separate us from his love. Brothers and sisters, this is what amazing of the Word of God. This is why God's Word is a good tidings. This is why in chapter 1, verse 3, he says there, the Word of God says, blessed are the one who read and pay attention and do what it says here. Because full of good tidings. We like to be secure. That's why we like to working hard, and we like to have good friends, etc., etc., to look after us. But sometimes we forget that we have an amazing Savior who always be with us, as he says in Matthew chapter 28, I am with you forever. If you connect with this and that text, I say again, this is amazing. I'm here, my family far away. Humanly speaking, I'm probably kind of concerned or worried. But if you go back to the scripture, it says, I am with you. He is with my family, my brothers and sisters there. And also with you here. I am the Emmanuel God. I am the Emmanuel God, God with us, inside and outside, and busy and be together. And if you compare with Psalm 121, it says, on your right hand. Verse 5 of Psalm 121. Your wife, your husband, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your best friend might love you, but they never be in your right or on your right hand all the time. But our Lord says, I am in your right hand. I am with you. You are the temple of Holy Spirit. So you compare here what Jesus says. He's walking around. He's busy. And this is a real thing. Even though just a symbolic word, but this symbolic word has a very deep meaning, deep comfort for you and me. And if I try to apply this in this life now, that many people now don't like to listen to the word of God, even hate Christians, and all kind of maneuvering in this world, including your country, and all kind of attack from the media, social, etc. I think this is very important for us. When I was in Melbourne, I was talking with a lady, a counselor. She mentioned to me there are some struggles, yes, also in this country because of media, social media. And even some young people try to harm themselves. And many other problems that are facing not only by non-believers, even in Christian community. So I think this text is very applicable for you and me facing all this situation. God is actually walk around. But let me flip back to the front. He is not only walking around, busy, knows everything and is with us, but also he says there, halt. Halt. When I look at this word halt, now I see Lydia is holding the baby. You see how she holds the baby? It's close to her body. Can you imagine if our Lord Jesus Christ holds you like Lydia over there? It's very close. I think this is very deep. Imagine your Savior, our Savior, holding you like a mom holding the baby. You can ask any woman here. They can understand this better than most of the men. They know how to hold the baby properly. But Jesus Christ holding us more, better, and deeper than that. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing, isn't it? For me, it's amazing. I say again, like Lydia, she was or is holding the baby, but only human being. After this, Lydia is tired. You cannot hold the baby all the time. But our Lord Jesus Christ never tired holding you and me. Never tired holding you and me. And I like to see this text with the windows from the text, Psalm 121. It says there, you are my keeper. You are looking after me, never tired, never weary. Those two words, I thought that's nice too. Our Lord never weary, even sleepy, looking after you and me and holding. Wow. Not only holding the church, holding you and me one by one. And if you follow what I said before, he is not holding you and me like a mother who after this tired, but the word holding me there means with power, with dominion, with his mighty. Look at that. Look at that. This is our Savior. This is our God. Who loves you and me, who holds you, who cares for you with his power and dominion and strength and mighty. Who can separate you and me from his love? You and me who already being predestined, elected, justified, and later on we glorified. That's what we as Reformed believe, isn't it? Halt and walk. And if he halts and walks, it's including his heart and his mind. And when I say this, I remember the text in front of your church there from 1 John 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Because he first loved us, sending Jesus Christ, his son, to suffer, die for us. You and me must love him. And that's why I like to talk about this before my time is off. You and me must love him. You see, in verse 4, 5, and 6, it says there, yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Why he says it here? Because this church, Ephesus, was already there before this letter came. Ephesus was established by God through to Apostle Paul in year 60. He was there 3 years in his missionary trip, and then he sent Timothy. And then you can see in the letter to Ephesus, he was talking so much about the deep love of God to the church. So many things about the deep love of God. And he was training the people of Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, to know the deep love of God and love him back. You can see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, it says there, I pray that you may know the deep and long and wide and etc. about the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church in Ephesus was growing in love. Amazingly, they were on fire. Serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They love God and they love each other. So the love was an amazing love. God noticed that. But then, let's say after one generation, when Apostle John came, wrote this, they kind of forsake or even maybe leave that first love. They love to God and never going down and become called. And this is important for you and me. That we could also going down our love to him. We can lose the focus. We might come to church because if you see all the letters, yeah, the points here, this church in Ephesus was very busy. They're very busy in teaching. Look at there. They're very busy in doing mission work. Look at there in verse 2, 3, 4. They were very busy doing discipline. Oh, like us Reformed Church too. We do doctrine and discipline. Yeah. They're very busy. It seems like they are also good. But look at what our Lord Jesus says after that. Yet I hold this against you. You're very busy, but think about your busyness. Don't lose the focus. I think this is important to remind us. I think our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to love him 100%. 100%. When I read this in Indonesia, I think this church was bad church. But when I read deeper, and I think this church is very busy church. Our Lord Jesus Christ also give recommendation. That's why I say commendation. Do discipline, teaching, hardship, endure, preserve, etc., etc. But he still say, I hold against you. That's what, like, condemnation and warning. Now I apply this to you and my life. Because he knows this, he must know your life and my life too and our church. Now if this come to you, how can we react? Or let's say I ask you the question. Do you love our Lord Jesus Christ 100%? Do I love our Lord Jesus Christ 100%? Or are we doing this as tradition because the elders say so, my parents say so, my church tradition say so I must do that? I think then we lost the focus. We lost the point because we do that because of human tradition, not because we love him who him first loved us. If we love God because God loved us, we will do and we will be on fire. And I think that's the word that I like to share with you. You and me must be on fire in love to God, to neighbors, and look after ourselves. If not, he said, I'll take out your golden lampstand. And if you see in Ephesus now, there is no church anymore. You and me don't want to be like that. We want our church keep on going. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ says, who has the ear? Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. And I think that's us. Exhortation, my number 6 point. That means I'm going to finish soon. You have ears, right? I have ears. Let's hear what our Lord Jesus says. And let's think about this and let's try to apply. And I think the focus of our Lord Jesus Christ in this text is, where is your and my love to him? This is important for us to pray. This is important for us to try to act that we really, really love him, just like the church in Ephesus did. So I hope that after this preaching, you and me can go and start a new life. Life on fire for our God. Life on fire to love him amazingly with our ability, with our talent, with our power, etc. So that other people outside will see that we are the disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we love him and we love each other. And that's why in the end he says, the promise. To the one who is victorious. I try to understand that word. I think the victorious here, not only meaning that we go into heaven, but also meaning who is the one who brave to turn around, change, who only love Jesus 50% or 70%, turn to be 100% love God, is the victory. And you know what? You are not alone. You and me cannot do that. You and me cannot love him 100%. But by his power, by his spirit, by the word of God, by he who is in us, we can do that. We can bring the heavenly love to this earth. We can bring the heavenly atmosphere in this earth, in our house, in our church, in our community, in our work, so that we are different because we are people that has fire of love for others and for God. And the promise is for sure, you and me enjoy the paradise. We'll enjoy the tree of life. That's for sure. But before we go there, while we are in here, I think let us try our best with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Let us show the amazing love for our God without counting the time, the energy. But we try our best because we are heavenly people. We are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are different from unbelievers. That by that, people may come, believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are heavenly people. We are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is with you and me as Emmanuel God, that knows all about you and my life, situation and condition, struggles, etc. May God bless you. Amen.